2GO Breakfast with Mandy and Widow.
Yeah, morning.
Morning.
How are we going? Are we good?
I'm all right. Just watch out for the fog.
It's a little bit foggy around the
fog. Driving here through Arimba and Lisarow this morning, plenty of fog on the road. Even turned on the fog lights, Mandy.
Oh, did you? You've got special fog lights. See, the X-Trail doesn't have special fog lights.
The X-Trail doesn't have special anything.
No, it's on or it's off. Pretty much it. Hey, be careful too, because we just heard that there was some debris on the M1.
Yeah, Calgary M1 southbound.
Yeah, that's going to be a pain over the morning. The X-Trail, hey? She's coming to the end of her days. She just clocked over 290,000 and I missed it. I missed that moment.
Oh, no, you were so looking forward to that.
No, I've got to shoot for 300,000 now.
That's all right.
It was 290,069 when I noticed, and I went, oh, no, I've missed it.
What's it like when you take your car to the mechanic? Does he kind of look at it and go, ooh.
He goes, how much do you want to drop on this before you give up on it? And I say, keep going, mate. Just keep it alive.
Milk it as much as we
keep
can.
Keep it going to 300,000 kilometres at least.
Oh, dear. We got lots of fun happening in today's show.
107.7 2GO.
Yesterday on the show, we caught up with a friend and great comedian, Justin Hamilton.
Now joined by our friend and comedian, Justin Hamilton. Hammo, hello. Oh,
good morning. I've got to be honest, I'm actually rapt that I managed to get in. Because I have lost a whole weekend. It's really embarrassing to admit. I have literally spent the weekend tied to my phone like I'm a teenager playing one app.
When you said you'd lost the weekend, I thought you meant because of the wet weather and, you know, having to stay indoors and stuff, but you're actually quite happy about staying indoors.
Oh, no, the wet weather was what justified this whole problem. Like, it was, you know, you look out, you go, oh, it's a bit wet, oh, it's a bit terrible. Oh, you know what? What's this app that I've been getting advertisements for ages now? I might as well try it out, and now it's Monday.
Okay, so which app is it that we're talking about here?
Well, you know, there's all sorts of apps that you can get addicted to, right?
Like,
and you know, apps that actually do something for your life, or just things that are interesting. It might even be the weather app. I know people who quite like the weather app.
Watching the radar comes in handy.
Watching the radar. My God. There's a storm in Brisbane. You know, it's great, right?
Hey, Hamo, I got addicted to the dating apps for a little while there.
Really?
And it wasn't so much that I was getting lots and lots of dates. I was just addicted to the act of swiping. And I had to I just had to kind of put a bit of a limit on it. Because honestly, you'd blink and 4 hours would go by and you'd go, I've done nothing but swipe.
Yeah, and not dated anybody.
And not dated
as well.
Anybody, not even started a conversation, just swiped.
You know, it's just fun.
I was swiping people in Perth, in Adelaide.
passing judgment. Like, you're looking, you're going, nah, nah, nah. Like this one, thumbs up. Nah. Well, at least that could have still led to something. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I have literally been playing this. I'm even scared to mention it because I suddenly feel like I'm some dirty pusher down a corner, you know, going, hey, kids, come here. Just have a little taste of this. Just one taste. It's a wood cube puzzle app.
I know this one.
Yeah. Do you know it?
Is this the one?
Don't play it.
That sound of the wood disappearing.
Oh, my God.
Is it triggering? Is it triggering you, Justin?
The sound of the wood disappearing also sounds like my sex life. But, you know, it is triggering me. It really is, because it is so addictive. Everyone listening who doesn't know what this app is probably thinking, what are you talking about? But it is so simple. It is literally making lines with different shapes. Pieces of wood, and then when you make a complete line, it disappears and it makes that really satisfying noise of wood dropping down.
Wow, okay. How many hours are we talking? Did you waste? Like, give us a really clear idea here.
So I downloaded it Friday night, and I reckon I played it 5 or 6 hours on Saturday. Not all at once.
Wow. No, but okay, on and off.
You know,
on and off.
I'll go and get some lunch. Oh, you know what? I'll just play a game of this. Oh, God, it's like 1:30. Okay, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I can totally sympathise with you here, Justin, only because I downloaded a game one night with nothing to do on my phone called Air Traffic Controller. And basically you had to guide the planes in and organise the airport so the planes could take off and land.
That's such a widow thing to play.
I downloaded it at like...
It is.
It's all about organisation. But I downloaded it at 8 o'clock one night, played it till about 10, went to bed, kept playing it. Before I knew, it was 4 a.m.
That's ridiculous.
I'd reached some crazy high score, and I went, no, I've got to go to sleep now. I deleted it the next day. It was too addictive.
Yeah. Oh, you have to delete it. And did you also dream about it?
No, but I'm having an itchingness where I want to download it today and have another go at it.
I know, you're scratching the sides of your arms. You're just going, come on, just one taste. Well, you know, so you'll appreciate this, because you were talking about the dating apps. I actually went on First Date. I've gone on in ages.
Yep.
And while I'm sitting there talking to this very nice person, just behind her, there were these slats in the window, and I was looking at those slats and I was thinking, man, if I could just get a little box at the end there, those slats would disappear.
You're trying to play the Woody Q puzzle in real life now.
In real life.
Oh,
every
Justin.
Time I saw straight lines or blocks, I was thinking how I could make them disappear. What a disaster.
All right, Justin Hamilton, thanks for joining us, mate.
We'll see you next week.
107.7 2GO.
Let's talk about Egg Boy. If you missed Egg Boy, he's a little hero. He's 17 years old. His name is Will Connolly, but everyone's calling him Egg Boy. He egged Fraser Anning, who, of course, is the sort of noted racist senator.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be in One Nation's, gone out on his own. Says a whole heap of inappropriate racist stuff, especially after the Christchurch massacre. Fraser Anning has been described as the political scab on the arse of the nation that the doctor is ordering you not to pick off.
Okay, wow. Where did that come from?
Which is pretty fierce.
Yeah.
But not fierce enough in my book. But anyway. Yeah. So Egg Boy has come out of all of this as an absolute hero after egging Fraser Anning on the head, videoing it. It went viral. The world loves him. He's getting tweets from international politicians. He's getting tweets from band leaders saying you've got free gigs for life.
Yeah.
He now has his own T-shirts being printed by somebody somewhere.
Hopefully with the right to use his image.
Well, he's cool with it. He's like, sweet, no worries. Whatever money comes from this is going to Christchurch. Like,
oh, that's awesome.
Like, he's had this this money raised, I think it's around $40,000, that people are just throwing into a bucket to say, well done, Egg Boy. If you need any legal costs, we've got you covered.
Yeah.
He's going, well, I don't have any legal costs, so I'm going to send it all over to the victims in Christchurch, which that's just really shows good. What a hero Egg Boy is.
That's really good, yeah.
He's got his own T-shirts now in Melbourne. Somebody's done a mural for him. It's fantastic.
Just these murals happening quick these days. They turn around.
Really quick, right? Yeah. So Melbourne is a town known for its murals and its street art, and I am just so thrilled that Egg Boy has been immortalised now on a mural, and I just cannot wait to get to Melbourne and see it, to be honest with you. I want a photo outside the mural of Egg Boy.
You're going to drive to Melbourne?
I am going to do it.
Just to go see the mural.
Just to get a photo of
You're like a fangirl.
I am like a fangirl. I love this kid. He's 17 years old, which means very soon he will be an adult.
Mm.
And that's when he'll become Eggman. I am the Eggman. They are the Eggman. I am the walrus. And he'll have his own little egg babies at some point.
It's amazing what's going on. He's got his T-shirt, he's got a song, he's got a nickname.
He's got everything, mate.
Egg Boy.
He is the hero of the nation.
107.7 2GO.
Mandy, I appreciate wildlife. You know, especially bird life.
I do too. I love it.
Yeah.
I love looking out for the kookaburras. Yesterday I saw a baby butcher bird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I love the sound
of the bell birds.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, a lot of bell birds around the coast. It's
we're very
amazing.
Lucky. We've got beautiful birds around
and
here.
The bower bird that collects all the blue stuff and builds its nest. What an interesting bird.
I know.
And here's a bird fact for you. Apparently, I've heard about this. I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe 13, 27, 10, someone could tell me different. But cockatoos in the wild can live up to like 100 years almost.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And here's another thing for you. When you see black cockatoos, it means rain's coming.
No way.
Yes, it does. Whenever you see the black cockatoos, and whenever I've seen them in my life,
really?
Sure enough, rain.
There must be a lot around the coast at the moment.
There might be. They're up near Baddow Bay, I think, the black cockies.
The reason why I'm talking about it, because there's those plover birds.
Plovers are the most annoying birds in the world. They squawk all night, and they walk around on the road, and you're like, get off the road, you silly plover.
Yeah, and they fiercely protect their nest. Like, they attack people, and it's like, it's crazy, right? But there's a next level of that, and it's from a bird you wouldn't expect. A bunch of geese have started attacking people that are coming near their nest. Yeah, geese. Geese. Now, what's happening, it's in Austria, not Australia.
Right.
And they're actually a pair of male geese protecting a nest of what is a colourful plastic cup.
Right.
So it's a gay couple.
It's gay geese.
Gay geese. Nice. And they're protecting this plastic cup like it's their own. But here's the thing.
They think the plastic cup is their baby.
Yeah, they think it's their baby. They think it's their baby, so they're really fiercely protective. But here's the thing, though. You kind of like laugh at this, go, oh, geese attacking people, whatever. But people have been hospitalised.
Oh, geese by, are fierce, by how,
yeah. Yeah. People have been swimming past. So whether it's on land or sea, they are attacking people that come anywhere near this plastic cup. And they've actually hospitalised a bunch of swimmers because they've suffered cuts from the geese. This is serious.
The geese are literally attacking people until they get cuts.
Yeah, exactly. So
I wonder what's in the cup.
Well, yeah, it's
because
got me thinking.
You know, I mean, I've seen Sydney Swan players, protect their cups when they've been full of bourbon.
Well, this has got me thinking because, you know, the Swannies, everyone talks about the Swannies, and they've got that emblem of the swan looking pretty mean,
yes.
You know? Like, I've always looked at that and gone, really? Like a mean swan?
Swans aren't that mean. Maybe they need to be called the Sydney geese.
I couldn't imagine exactly.
Change the name to the Sydney geese.
I like it.
Because the geese are, you know, they're attacking fierce and they cause injuries.
Yep. See, there you go. And they compete for some kind of, like, trophy at the end of it.
Which is a plastic multicoloured cup.
Yep. All right, done. Sydney Swans are now the Sydney Geese. We can move on. We've sorted that. 107.7
2GO. All right, $56,000. What could you do with it?
$56,000?
Yeah.
Geez, I could do lots of stuff. That's a nice car. Nice brand new car.
Wow, that's a lot of money to spend on a car. But, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
that's a nice car.
Yeah, it's a really nice car.
Chunk out of a deposit on a house.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
You know, or you could pay your rent for probably, a good part of a year.
Or actually just go on, like, a holiday for a whole year.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be amazing.
Amazing.
Just whatever you want to
and
do
like
for
no
a year.
And like no holds barred holiday. Yep. Like stay in fancy places. Oh my God, yeah.
Yep. The kind of places that leave a little chocolate thing on your pillow.
Oh, they leave more than that.
Yeah, that's pretty fancy.
They leave all the shit.
You walk in and your pillows are like all nicely chopped and looking really good. And then there's like a swan made out of a towel.
Yes, and there's champagne there waiting for you on ice as you walk in the door.
That's how you know you're staying at a fancy place.
Exactly. The swan.
The swan towel.
The swan towel. Well, $56,000 is what a chap spent on a bottle of champagne. Now, it's not just one of those little mini bottles of champagne. It's one of the big ones, and I think they're called Nebuchadnezzars.
Nebuchadnezzars?
I think they're called either a Balthazar or a Nebuchadnezzar, I think, are the biggest ones
What's
you can get.
What's a Magnum, then? What's that?
A Magnum's only just the next size up, I think.
Okay.
And then you've got, like, a Jeroboam and a Methuselah a Balthazar.
You're so making this up.
I'm not. I'm reading it off Google.
Isn't that like an orc from Lord of the Rings or something?
Balthazar.
Look out, it's a Balthazar.
I don't know. Anyway, these are legitimate sizes, right? They range in like litres. So 3 litres is your Jeroboam.
Yeah.
And then right up to 15 litres, which is your Nebuchadnezzar. Anyway, I'm not sure exactly how big this bottle was. It looks like it could be about the 12 litres, the Balthazar sort of size.
How much did he spend on it?
$56,000.
One bottle of champagne.
One bottle, right?
Wow.
And he's at this party with his friends and the music's pumping and he's like, I'm the man. I'm the man.
Look at me.
I'm going to open this Nebuchadnezzar. Not with his teeth. That would have been a little bit more kind of manly, I suppose. But anyway, he's in front of a crowd of people. He's, you know, this is in Spain, by the way. He's going, righto, let's do it. And he's standing there with this giant bottle of champagne and he thinks he can just open it with his hands by just standing there kind of half dancing. You know what's going to happen.
It's not going to end well. I can tell that already.
It's not going to end well. So he kind of half pops it. Then drops it.
Yeah, nice.
And the thing just goes everywhere.
Nice.
$56,000.
Yep.
I would have got on the floor and started licking the floor. I don't care it's a dance floor and that everyone's been walking all over it for the last 4 hours.
Yeah.
I would have got down with a straw and sucked that stuff off the dance floor.
Well, that's an expensive sticky floor, isn't it?
Oh, $56,000 on this bottle of pop.
I mean, there's been champagne fails before. I mean, I've seen them in my life, but worth $56,000.
No. When I was like 16 or 17, a little bit of underage drinking, that's when I was back, you know, silly and whatever.
Yeah. Don't do that, please, kids.
No, don't.
Please drink responsibly.
You know, drink responsibly.
Wait till you're
18. And don't do this either. Don't open a champagne bottle while you're sitting down. Like, I had no idea how to open a champagne bottle.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting down. I've got the champagne bottle between my legs. Look, it could have been something like Passion Pop, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And I've done the, like, taking it off like a screw kind of thing, trying to screw it. The cork has hit me square up under my chin.
You got an uppercut from a champagne bottle.
An uppercut from a champagne bottle. And you know what? That hurts. It hurts real bad. Like, it was, like, it's shooting out at, 100K an hour or something.
Yeah,
like, this cork smacked me square. And it's really soft there, right?
Yeah.
So it smacked me there. And, of course, I'm in front of my friends.
So you look like an absolute...
Trying to be cool. No. I sucked it up and I just went, I'm fine. who wants a champagne? Well, I can't talk.
At least it was like a $8 bottle of Passion Pop and not a $56,000 bottle of a Balthazar.
Well, yeah, Balthazar was the size. Amazing.
107.7 2GO.
We're now joined on the show by friend and comedian Limo. Hello, Limo.
Thank you, guys.
Limo, your mother-in-law has been staying with you for some time. Is she gone? Yeah. Is she still there? What's going on?
Guys, she's gone. It's been a tough weekend. She left last Thursday.
Mm.
So she's been gone, what, for 5 days? I can tell you that our house already looks like... It looks like we live in a university share house. There are dishes everywhere. No washing has been done. There's food up the walls. We need her back. Gaynor, if you're listening, please come back. On Friday, though, I was due to do a gig in Sanctuary Cove, guys, on Friday night.
Okay.
Let me talk you through my Friday. I left my home at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Mm.
I got to Melbourne Airport and I got on a plane. We took off just after 3 for Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to have someone pick me up in Brisbane, drive me to Sanctuary Cove. And so we took off. We got to Brisbane. Well, we got in the air above Brisbane. We circled for roughly an hour, and then the pilot came on and said, "Sorry, guys, can't land in Brisbane. We're off to Sydney." Well, there was a little bit of rain in Brisbane on late Friday afternoon. So, but when the pilot said that, he said, "I'm really sorry, but it's just not safe. We have to go." I overheard one bloke say, "Oh, surely we can find a way through." And I thought, oh, I'll tell you what, I'm glad that bloke's not the pilot. Seriously. But it did make me wonder. Imagine if the pilot came on and said, "Okay, here's the deal, guys. They reckon it's too dangerous to land. I'm happy to have a crack. Let's put it to the vote."
Imagine the vote.
And then you have everyone votes inside the plane. If you get, I don't know, let's say 75% to make it reasonable, then the pilot just goes, "All right, we're having a crack.
We're having a go, guys. Strap in.
We're going for it." Because, you know, I've been on a flight before, because normally passengers on planes are pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
They get the stakes are high.
Yeah.
But I was on a plane once where we were diverted to a different city halfway to our destination because someone on the plane had had a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
Right, yes, they'd had a heart attack. And there were people on the plane going, "Oh, great. Well, this has ruined my holiday. They're fantastic." So, guys, someone's about to die.
Yeah.
And they're being rushed to hospital.
Pretty sure his day's ruined too, you know? Yeah.
His day's really ruined.
Did you miss your gig in the end? That's the question.
Well, we flew back to Sydney. We landed in Sydney and we sat on the tarmac for about an hour. I rang the people at the gig and I said, "Guys, this is not looking good." And they said, "It doesn't look like we're going to take off for about another hour."
Ooh.
So I got off the plane in Sydney, got on another plane and flew straight back to Melbourne. So I got I missed the gig completely and I got back to Melbourne at 11:30 Friday night.
And oh, my God.
I tell you what, it gave my wife a shock when I walked into the house. But I'll tell you what, she wasn't half as shocked as the next door neighbour in bed with her. He, boom! Yes! Right there. There we go. That's why I get paid the mediocre bucks, guys. That kind of gear.
Thank you very much, Limo, for joining us once again. Hey, you've got a book out called This Shirt Won't Iron Itself, if people want to check it out. And I believe you're on the AFL Footy Show.
Yes, I'm hosting the AFL Footy Show for 2019.
Nice.
And it might go, I'm not sure of the timings in the northern states, but I think it might go up later in the night on Channel 9.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, we look forward to getting your tips too. Thanks, Limo. We'll see you next week.
Good on you, guys.
107.7 2GO. In a galaxy far, far away.
Capcom, we're go for landing.
It's time for Space News.
Look, we haven't had any space news for a few days.
What's happened?
Oh, well, you know, I wait for the big news. I don't just give you all the little updates. I mean, they've been discovering galaxies and they've been discovering particles and they've been, you know, talking about black holes. But I wait for the big news for you, right?
Okay, good.
And the big news today is that Japan wants to build the ultimate moon rover. And for some reason, the moon is back on the map and people want to get there. The Russians are trying to get there. The Chinese are trying to, or the Chinese sent something up and tried to grow potatoes or something up there.
Yeah, what happened to that? That was funny,
yeah,
wasn't
they
it?
Died.
On the dark side of the moon.
They died because there's no sun. I could have told you that, guys. Japan now trying to get there. The Americans want to go back there.
Well, we're in another space race. You've got all this like space travel happening, tourism, space tourism, whatever they're calling
it. That's right.
And now everyone wants to go to the moon again.
Well, what they want to do is they want to build a module on the moon so that that can be the place that people go out further from. So like a little home base on the moon.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then they're going to need a vehicle on the moon. Mm-hmm. And Japan want to build the ultimate moon rover for astronauts. This thing is going to be enormous. Now, they've tapped into Toyota. They said to Toyota, hey, guys, do you want to build the first ultimate moon rover? And Toyota have gone, hell yeah.
All right.
So it's 20 feet long, so 6 metres long. It's got six wheels.
Yeah.
It's over 5 metres wide, so get your head around that.
Jeez, this is
and
huge.
It's nearly 4 metres high, so it's a massive vehicle. It's like a tank, really.
What's it running on?
Well, it's got fuel cells, and okay. It says that the it'll get 10,000 kilometres to a tank.
Okay. It must be solar or something.
Anyway.
I can't imagine, like, you know, many people driving around the moon looking for a servo with some decent priced petrol
on it.
Can
you just wipe the windows as well while you're there, mate? Thanks. It's called the JAXA Toyota Moon Rover.
Okay.
And it looks a little bit like a Hummer.
Wow, okay.
But a little bit more futuristic, very sleek and a little bit like a Hummer.
Jeez, there's a lot of junk up on the moon already because they took a rover up there. I think they took a couple.
Left that one. There's a couple of rovers on Mars as well. We're just leaving junk everywhere.
Guy was playing golf up there. He lost some golf balls. There's
some clubs up there as well.
Just absurd.
You know what? I think Toyota are a good brand and I know they're probably up for the job, but I tell you what, if they really want an indestructible car that can cope with the terrain on the moon and the harsh terrain of outer space, they need to take my X-Trail, because that thing never dies.
You have treated that thing pretty harsh over the years.
Yes, I have. And you know what? I need a car that can handle that, because I'm not about pussyfooting around cars. I want to drive that thing like I mean it.
Well, such a prized piece of machinery, such as your X-Trail, that is almost indestructible. What would you sell it for to
Japan to take to the moon?
Yeah.
You can have it for $150. It's not worth much more. It's got one hubcap. It's got a massive dent in the back.
107.7 2GR.
Mandy, I want to talk to you about buying secondhand furniture.
Look, I've been doing it for decades. My house is full of secondhand furniture.
Yep.
I have old 50s tables, the ones with the laminate stuff on them.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful.
I've got old
stuff,
50s chairs. I've got bookshelves. Pretty much every piece of furniture apart from my couch is secondhand.
Well, that's exactly the same with Alyssa and I. I went, like, I can't afford to buy dining table chairs, that stuff. So I actually bought...
I like the old stuff too. I think it's got character.
Well, I bought the old stuff and I bought one good sander and a bunch of sanding paper, sanded it all back, repainted it in the French provincial style.
Oh, wow, look at you. And now a little bit shabby chic.
People love all our furniture. They go, oh, it's beautiful. It all matches. I go, I know.
It's because you're shabby chic,
yeah,
girl.
Yeah, shabby chic, exactly.
That's your new nickname.
You know, like Facebook Marketplace, you can find heaps of stuff on there. Coasties, Bag of Bargain, that's one of the places.
Yeah, garage sales are good for it as well.
Yeah. But a little bit of a warning this morning when it comes to this, because you could be getting some dodgy furniture if you're not careful. Mm. And I say dodgy in an interesting way because in the States, a thrift store was selling some furniture. And I'll read you the little, you know, like the furniture's got a little description about it.
Yeah, a little sign with the price and everything.
This one says $1,000, two-piece bedroom suite, queen canopy bed, high boy chest of drawers, hand-carved in the 1950s.
Wow, nice. Sounds
That's
perfect.
A good start.
I'd be into that.
That's a great start. Then it says, please note, previous owner reports that the high boy is haunted. He reports continuous nightmares for he and his wife while it was in their room. He also reports that the dogs would not stop barking at it.
Wow. That's the chest of drawers.
That's the chest of drawers. It's a genuine disclaimer they did because someone actually had haunted furniture and this was haunted and they said their life changed. They had to get rid of it. They couldn't
That's
have it
so
in their house.
Dumb.
It's apparently a thing.
Nightmares. Specifically because of the tall boy.
Yeah, and you might laugh at this, but this happened to my mum and dad. Now, my mum and dad, they like antiques.
Yeah.
And they bought this old chest of drawers, and I mean old chest of drawers. Like a really antique. Yeah, tall boy
proper
thing. They brought it into the house. They put it with their stuff, and they put some things on it, put some stuff in the drawers, all great. My mum, for the first week or two that thing was in the house, had weird dreams about past relatives that have passed away and all this stuff. Like,
really?
She genuinely had some crazy dreams about, and it was all because this chest of drawer came into the house. Now, eventually they went away and stopped, but she reckons it had something to do with that chest of drawers. So I'm not prepared to say this can't happen because it might be true. People might have haunted furniture.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
Haunted furniture?
Maybe.
I reckon we ask if anyone, seriously, I'll be very surprised if you get a single call.
Okay,
here.
I think it could be true. That's why I'm laughing, because it's funny. But it could happen. It could happen.
Haunted furniture.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about haunted houses.
No, furniture.
Furniture.
I don't know. Make,
specifically.
Maybe like a rocking chair that moves on its own or something like that. Yeah.
All right. I'm happy to ask the question.
All right. Well, look, we've
I'll be very surprised if you get a single answer.
2GO presents Diesel out of his greatest hits album tour. It's happening at the Entrance League.
Good
Friday,
tickets.
April 12th. Tickets, dieselmusic.com.au or 132710. We can give you a double pass right now. Just call us and let us know, do you have haunted furniture? Carolyn from Watanabe, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. Well, how are you?
Look, we're good. Tell us about your haunted furniture.
Well, I don't have it now, but when I was a little kid, we were growing up in the country, and we used to have this cupboard that was in the corner of my grandma's house. And one night we were all sleeping in the lounge room and we heard babies crying. And we woke up the next day and asked Gran about it, and she said apparently in the early years of the house, it used to be a make-believe hospital, and they used to put babies in the drawers because they didn't have cots or anything like that in the country. And apparently a couple of them had passed away because they used to close the drawers on the cupboard to keep them quiet.
What?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it had about 9 drawers in this damn cupboard. And
oh my
I can
God.
Always remember. And every time I see an old style cupboard with lots of drawers in it, that's the first thing I think about when I was a kid.
I bet.
You heard haunted babies crying
from the
no
drawers.
Way. No way.
I do know that they used to put babies in drawers. I mean, my mum used to tell me that, but they never used to shut them.
Wow.
I mean, apparently they used to, because I grew up in a small country town.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a hospital back in those days, but they used this house. Because it was a really big house. It was like a house in the front that had a walkway in the middle and all the kitchen, and that was down the back end of the house.
Wow. What country town was it, Carolyn?
Oh, do I have to tell you? Because people might realise who I am.
No, you stay anonymous.
I might just avoid the country town for now.
Thank you, Carolyn. Great to chat to you. This is freaking me out. Elizabeth, hi. Tell us about your haunted furniture, mate.
It was my grandmother's clock in her house at Baddow Bay.
Yeah.
And I sort of haven't visited those stories with Dad forever, but the clock would start going crazy and making all noises. And within an hour of that, at any time in the night, they'd get a phone call and something had happened to a relative or a relative had passed away.
So the clock would sound and then you'd get the phone call?
Yes, apparently so. Yeah.
Actually made me get shivers on the back of my legs then. That is remarkable, Elizabeth. Wow. Did you ever experience this, or was this just your dad telling you this?
Yeah, just Dad. We were always up at the holiday house at Baddow Bay, but...
You never...
We were kids, and my grandmother's been passed away now for, it'd have to be at least 37 years.
Yep.
So, you know, when we were kids growing up, and I don't know that we kind of...
Paid attention to it.
I can't remember. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay. That's an incredible story.
That's going to be a hard family heirloom to pass down. Does anyone want the haunted clock?
No, thanks.
I missed that one.
Michelle from Ravensdale. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Mandy. How are you?
Oh, great, mate. Tell us about your haunted furniture.
I have haunted plates and pictures on the wall.
Oh, my God.
Plates? What do the haunted plates do?
So I decided to start collecting some fine bone china. I loved the Royal Doulton with all the little flowers on it. So I started collecting these plates.
Yep.
And I put them in the kitchen cupboard, and they were on plate stands, but the larger plates towards the back couldn't fit on the plate stand because they were too tall and they would hit the glass. So I put blue tack there.
Yep.
And the blue tack kept sliding, so the plates kept sliding down, and I was forever fixing them up. There was 12 of them in total. Anyway, one day I got really cranky and I said, "Is whoever are moving these plates, stop moving the plates. I've had enough. You're going to break them and I won't be able to give them to my daughter." Anyway, the plates stopped moving, but then all the pictures in the house started moving.
Oh, so
get out!
No!
So the ghost has gone, right, so you can have your plates.
So these pictures, are they kind of moving crooked, are they? Is that what's happening?
Well, they're sliding down. So what happened, I had the little cup, the little saucer that the cup sat on, and then the larger sort of cake plate towards at the back.
Yeah, yeah,
and
but the pictures on the wall, I want to know what's happening with them now, Michelle.
Oh, so, well, we've moved from the house now, and the funny thing was, what happened when I said to whoever was moving the plates to stop it, about a month later, I thought to myself, this is funny, I haven't had to fix any of the dinner plates that have been falling down. So then, after about another month after that, my husband said to me, have you noticed how I'm forever straightening the pictures in the house?
Oh, no.
I said, so am I. Every time we look past a picture, a painting on the wall, we'd have to fix it up and make it nice and straight again.
You know what I'm thinking of, Michelle? I'm thinking of those hilarious moments in movies where the eyes follow you around the room. The eyes in the portraits just kind of follow you around the room. Oh,
Michelle,
that's your best.
You need to get out of the house and you need to go see Diesel, all right?
Yes,
we're going to give you a double pass.
We're sending you to Diesel, mate. No worries at all.
All right. Thank you for the calls, Coasties.
I didn't believe it, but yes, there's haunted drawers.
Haunted furniture. It is a thing.
107.7 TGO.
So do you remember last year, I think it was around May, when the Gosford Anglican Church, which of course Father Rod is a part of, he's a friend of the show, we love him.
Yep.
They were just having their normal congregation, their normal service, and then some neo-Nazi kind of white supremacists, you know, came into the church and started waving, I think, like knives and stuff around.
Yeah, they had whips and swords.
Whips and swords and stuff. Yeah, it was pretty horrendous. It was very scary for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Well, it's come to light that one of those guys that walked in and did that was one of the guys that was with Fraser Anning's entourage who held down Egg Boy.
Yeah. He was part of the guys that held down Egg Boy. Yeah, it's not good. I think he's actually wanted by police too.
There you go. So just to anyone that doesn't know, Egg Boy is gaining notoriety around the world. Actually, a 17-year-old chap from Melbourne. His name's Will Colony, now known as Egg Boy, because he came up and cracked an egg on Fraser Anning's head when Fraser Anning was talking to the press. Now, of course, Fraser Anning is sort of well known for his racist views and for being an Islamophobe.
Yeah.
And this kid was just protesting that and saying, we don't agree as kids. We don't agree with what you're saying. You shouldn't be saying this racist stuff, and you shouldn't be saying it in the wake of the Christchurch massacre, which he was.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people have called the show this morning and said, you know what, this kid didn't do the right thing. He didn't, he assaulted this guy. And I go, you know what, he was trying to start a conversation. He didn't do it in the right way.
No. And look, my point is as well, though, like hate breeds hate and all that kind of stuff. So he should have gone about it in a different way, I think. I agree with Egg Boy's point of view.
But you know what, he'd have emailed Fraser Anning and said, sir, I don't agree with your views, we wouldn't be having this conversation. It wouldn't have gone global and it wouldn't have gone viral.
No. It
so
wouldn't
you've
have.
Got to kind of see it in the context that it's happened.
I understand that, but you've got to understand Fraser Anning's followers now are only just going to feel more hate towards anyone that has these different views to theirs. It's not opening up their mind. So I just think he could have gone about it in a different way, personally.
Personally, I think we've got to ask the question why a senator like Fraser Anning can get into Parliament on 16 votes or whatever it is.
That's
and then
crazy.
Sprinkle this racist stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, back to Egg Boy, because Egg Boy's become a bit of a hero.
Yeah.
Lots of bands have said you can come to our concerts for free for life. I think one of the guys in Turkey in the Parliament there has said, we'll fly you over to Turkey. You can come and see our... Like, people around the world are saying this guy's a hero.
Yeah.
Well, it's come out overnight that already he has his own mural in Melbourne.
Yeah, that happened quick, didn't it?
Didn't it just?
Yeah.
Somebody's got out the paints. And, you know, Melbourne's known for its street art, and that's part of its tourist attraction, is all the beautiful alleyways with all of the street art and stuff. Well, now Egg Boy has his own mural and his own T-shirt. Someone's designed a T-shirt for him that's getting sold on Threadless.
Now, what's going to happen with the profits for that? Like,
oh, the profits from that are going to the Christchurch victims, is great. I've bought an Egg Boy t-shirt.
You bought one?
I bought an Egg Boy t-shirt.
Jeez.
I think I'll give it to my son. He'll love it.
All right.
But the other thing is that Egg Boy is 17, right? So in a year's time, he's going to be Eggman.
Eggman.
And he does sound like a superhero when he's Eggman. And he's got his own theme music. All he needs is a cake. He's got he's a hero, Eggman, to the rescue.
Eggman. He's got it all going on. He's got a t-shirt. Yeah, he's got artwork.
He's got artwork.
And he's only 17.
He's a superhero. 107.7 2GO. So something happened to me yesterday. I went to get my eyes checked because my eyes have been getting worse because I'm an old lady.
Mm-hmm.
And they get, you know, worse as you get older.
What happens to people? I wear glasses.
You wear glasses too. That's right. Yeah. And it's been about 4 or 5 years since I've had them checked. And I've been noticing that I've been getting...
Jeez, that's a while.
It is. I'm a bit slack with that. I don't have a health fund that covers it. So I just go, nah, I'll be right.
I think you're meant to get them checked every year, aren't you?
Yeah, that's not me. Okay. I don't do that.
All right.
I make do. That's what I've been doing. But I've been kind of... You know when you kind of get your phone and you start holding it further and further away and you're going, yeah, no, I can see that now. So I've been doing a bit of that.
I think it's called denial, but
anyway. Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
So I went to the optometrist.
Yeah.
And he was really great, actually. He did the full test, the puff in the eye test, the looking at the back of the eye test.
Yep.
He said, I've got a bit of sun damage on one of my eyes and stuff like that. So it was a really thorough test. I didn't realize it was so thorough. Last time I went to the optometrist, it was a quick look in and a quick, is this better than this? Is this better than this?
They check the pressure of your eyeball for glaucoma and all that
all
stuff.
All that like, stuff, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. So I didn't realize. Glaucoma. So I was in there for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I'm smiling and chatting away to this guy. He's a lovely guy and we're having a laugh.
Things are going well.
Good trip. He's also nice and close because they have to get nice and close to just adjust all the things. So he's nice and close to me. And then I get outside and the lovely girls that are there are helping me pick my frames, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going and I'm smiling and I'm kind of going, what do these look like? And we had a bit of a laugh about something and then she's going, no, they don't look very good on you. Get these ones here. You know, she was really great. And I thought, this is exactly what I need. And then I thought, you know what? I just want one more opinion. I'm going to ring my daughter and I'm going to FaceTime her and I'm going to show her a few different frames and she can help me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? My daughter Coco, who's 20.
Yeah.
So I'm FaceTiming Coco and I'm going, what do you think about these? And she's going, yeah, Mum, they look really nice. I like those. And I'm going, these ones. No, I don't think they're as nice as the other ones.
Okay.
Great.
Well, that's good.
Right? All going well.
Yeah.
Until we go to hang up and Coco says, by the way, Mum, I think you've got something in your teeth.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, thanks. Bye. Hung up.
What was it?
Massive black bit of something right in the front of my face. Like right in,
and no one told you? The optometrist? The people helping you with the frames?
All these people are looking at my face.
Oh, that's awkward.
They're closely looking at my face.
See,
and no one told me.
That's a little frustrating because I am one of those people.
I'm a teller.
I'm a teller. If there's something in your teeth, if there's something on your shirt, or if you just spat it, you know when you talk to people and the bit of spit comes out of your mouth and lands on your shirt? I'm one of those people that go, you just spat on me. And
Hang on. Stop. Let's backtrack
here. A bit of spit came out there.
What if it was a stranger? Like, what if we were ushering a guest into the studio right now? And you've never met them before?
Yeah.
And you notice something big wedged in the front of their teeth. Would you say something with them?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
You would?
Yeah, of course. You've got to. Because look at the awkwardness and the embarrassment later on that happened
to you. Seriously. I'm standing there and then I have to get it out and then... I actually said to them, I said, why didn't you tell me I had some stuff in my teeth? And they went, oh, we didn't want to say anything.
Oh, no.
You know what? There should be a rule in society. We all have to just tell each other when we got stuff stuck in our teeth.
I think that's a good
rule. It's the new rule.
It's a good rule.
It's a new rule. We all should abide by it.
Yep. And don't feel embarrassed when it happens. Just go, oh, thank you for that.
Thanks, mate.
I'll get rid of it.
I'm going to go and
the odd thing would
out.
Be is, thanks for that. Can you get it for me? Don't do
nah,
that.
That's
weird.
Cool. 107.7 2GO. And this is a conversation about having babies.
Yeah, well, this is a one in 4.7 billion birth that has happened at Texas in Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what happened was a lady...
Houston in Texas.
Sorry, yeah. Houston in Texas. Got the wrong way around. A lady by the name of Thelma Chiaka, I think I'm saying her name correctly.
Mm-hmm.
She delivered sextuplets.
Yeah, I saw this story rolling around because it's a pretty remarkable one. That's six babies.
Six babies. One in 4.7 billion chance of that happening.
Yeah, wow.
Now, the other thing that's quite remarkable is the time frame that this happened. So she went into labour and gave birth to the first baby at 4:50.
So just to clarify, she's not getting a C-section.
No C-section.
She's a natural delivery.
Natural delivery.
How many? So she had twins. They're all the same. They're identical.
All I know is that they range in weight from 793 grams to 1.3 kilos, and all are doing well.
Okay, great.
That's what we know. I don't know if they're identical or not. But here's the thing, Mandy. Here's the real amazing thing here. She gave birth to the first baby at 4:50. And the last baby, the sixth baby, came out at 4:59. 9 minutes, six
to have
babies.
To have six babies.
9 minutes.
9 minutes.
She gave birth to six babies. That's amazing.
That sounds painful. Like that, there's such a thing as too quick, I reckon.
Yeah, well, she did name...
Mind you, they're little, right? They're all really little.
Yeah.
They're all tiny.
They're tiny, but she did quickly name... There were two girls, named the girls, but the rest were boys, and she just apparently was too tired. She couldn't even deal with it.
Yeah, fair enough, too.
They did a Facebook post, and like, yeah, this one's it. We'll get to the others later.
She named the girls Zena and Zuriel.
Mm.
That's going to get confusing later.
Zuriel.
I dare you to name all the boys starting with Z as well. Zachary.
Now you're stumped, aren't you?
Zep. That's about it.
Zed.
Zed.
Yeah, Zed. There you go.
Anyway, amazing. It's 9 minutes.
Absolutely incredible story.
So my births went for days, not minutes.
Well, yeah.
Days.
I remember telling you that, that Alyssa was in labour for, I think, almost... God, it was like 18, 16 hours or something. Yeah. And then we had to have the emergency C-section.
Well, it's pretty normal for you first to have a long birth.
Yeah, but you, it was ages.
I went into labour on the Thursday night and I had Coco on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And when I say I went into labour, it starts off slow.
Yeah.
You know, but at some point you're having the 5 minute contractions and you ring, and I rang the hospital and they said, nah, you'll be right for a couple of hours. Keep going. Then I went into hospital and they said, nah, you're not dilated at all. Go back home. So they sent me home.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's
it was
a long
painful.
Labour. That's a long labour, but I want to know the quickest labour here on the coast.
Well, I doubt that we're going to get 9 minutes, but I would love to hear of anyone that just surprisingly had the quickest labour and took them by surprise. I mean, you might have been on your way somewhere. You might not have. You might have been at home. You know, sometimes this happens at home.
It happens that quick sometimes,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, 13 27 10. Call us right now. Let us know who had the quickest labour on the coast.
Yeah, let's try and find the quickest one on the coast. Well, Angela in Canmore, how long were you in labour for, Angela?
Around an hour and 15 to 20 minutes.
That's not long.
Wow.
That's not long at all.
And pretty quick.
Can I ask how big your baby was?
9.5 kilos.
9.5 pounds. I was going to say 9.5 kilos. Oh, my God. It's a horse.
I think Evie's 8 months old and not that heavy.
That's a really big baby. I'm amazed that only took an hour and 10,
crazy.
15 minutes. That's amazing, Angela. Okay, let's see if we can beat that. Stay there, Ange. We've got another Angela in Terrigal. Hi, Ange. What was your birth time?
My birth time was 3:21 in the afternoon.
Yeah, so how long did it take you to have the baby?
He was 4 weeks early, and he came 6 pounds 7.
But how long was the labour?
How long was the labour, mate?
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Okay.
That is nothing.
So
I mean, a premature baby, that baby wanted to come out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm coming. 20 minutes later,
baby. All right, so 20 minutes, that's
okay,
the
that's pretty quick.
So
that's amazingly quick. Let's go to Joe in Widalba. We're looking for someone to top 20 minutes, Joe. What have you got?
Hi, guys. Hi. Well, my first baby, he was actually 4 weeks early as well.
Right.
So I think I woke up at about 7:30 and I thought, oh, God, it's too early. My baby's in danger. Like, I wasn't in full-on pain. Anyway, went to the hospital. I think we got there about 11, and I think the pushing was about 20 minutes. But all up, I mean, I think I woke up at 7. I wasn't in a lot of pain. Went to the hospital and they're like, oh, yeah, your baby's going to be born today. I'm like, what?
Wow.
Okay.
And it's not what you expect when you're 4 weeks away from your due date, right? So that would have been a bit frightening.
No.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
wow.
I think the pushing was about 6 minutes.
So pushing for six, but all up about 20, yeah?
All right, okay.
Okay.
Right.
Let's see if we can beat that. Let's go to Pam in Wyong. It's a competition. I love that we've turned this into a competition. Pam, how long did it take for you to deliver your baby?
From getting to the hospital at 20 past five, I delivered at 25 past five.
Are you serious?
Five minutes?
Really rush on. It was lights and sirens on the way from home.
Whoa.
Wow.
Okay.
And my other boys were supposed to come in and watch Bubby being born, but it was too late.
You haven't got time to take your knickers off at 5 minutes, have you?
You don't even try to park the car or anything. It's just
coming.
Baby's coming. Here we go. Oh, there it is.
That is remarkable. And was that a good thing or a bad thing that it was that quick? Like, was it good?
I think it was, and it was only 9 pound two.
Only 9 pound two. Oh. Wow, Pam. You know what? We're going to give you $100 to go and spend at Sea Salt at the Crown Plaza Terrigal and have a beautiful meal there. It's delicious there at Sea Salt, so you'll enjoy that. And I think we're going to have to give Jo from Wadauba the tickets to the Hunter Valley Air Show because she came runner-up in the competition of who can have a baby the quickest.
107.7 2GO.
Cabba joins us again. He's a local comic and friend of the show. We love having you in. Hey, Cabba.
Hey, how are we?
Yeah, good. Can I just ask, like, where does the name Cabba come from? It's K-A-B-B-A, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. Cabba. It's Cabba. So my real name is Michael Konofsky.
Right.
But so you can imagine, Grant, now I grew up out west. So having surname Konofsky very quickly become Wog Boy.
Yeah, right. So
is it Polish? What is
it? It is. Yeah, it's Polish.
Because you sound so Australian.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
You're more Aussie than anything.
I know. And we looked it up. We're actually fifth generation Polish. And we were Jewish Poles, like the ones that they really wanted.
So how long has your family been in Australia, though? Like, have you been in Australia forever?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Years.
So, okay.
So what happened was when I grew up, Konofsky turned into Cabanossi.
And Cabanossi
and
got
then Cabba got shorter into, because it's hey, we're Aussie. You can't say Cabanossi. No. You've got to shorten it.
Yeah.
So it's Cabba.
Cabba.
And then, but then, of course, Konofsky with a K, so we kept it, you know.
Yep.
Cabba.
Cabba.
I was always trying to fit in, and it actually works out better with comedy because you can't say, so many MCs were going, Michael Kibinoski.
Yeah.
Kenanoski.
Yeah.
Right? So then, Kenotsky.
Kenotsky, yeah.
And then, so then, fitting in growing up, and I was always trying to fit in, and then brand name clothes came in, and you're trying to, you know, and we couldn't afford the brand name clothes growing up.
Mm-hmm. And right? it's a surefire way to fit in. If you're dressed like everybody else, you're in, right?
Yeah, that's it. If you've got the names, Adidas or whatever, you're in the gang, right? So what happened was I went down, finally convinced Mum to take her down the shops.
Yeah.
And I said, like, buy me these pants. Took her into this trendy shop. She seen the pants, seen the price and nearly fell over.
Yeah.
And said, that's ridiculous, Michael. I'm not paying for that. Right? And then took me down to this magical place called Spotlight.
I think I know what's coming.
Where I spent the rest of my teenage life with Mum walking around going, pick out a pattern, and pick out a cloth. And then she would make these pants, and then I would go to school. I don't recommend this. Well, I do recommend this. You'll save a lot of money. And I used to go to school, and I used to steal the tags off other kids' bags, like Billabong or whatever.
Oh, did you really? Yeah, yeah.
And then I would bring them home, and Mum would stitch it onto these horrible Spotlight pants that she's made. And then when... when I went to school, kids would go, they're not Billabong pants, they're not Billabong. I go, yeah, they are. Look at the tag. And they go, oh, wow, I haven't seen them before. I go, yeah, Michael just got back from America.
Oh,
but the worst thing is Billabong's made in Australia. Well, it was.
Yeah, it was, exactly. That's genius. As a kid, that is a genius solution.
Oh, and I mean, the thing was, I didn't steal a lot. I only had about 4 tags. So we had to rotate the tags every time Mum made a different pair of pants or something.
Well, he's the ever stylish Cabanossi Kanyuskiewicz. He joins us on the show. Thanks for coming, mate.
No worries, buddy. Thank you.
107.7 2GO.
Earlier we were talking about the quickest labour, and we were doing this because there was a woman in Texas who had 6 kids, 6 sextuplets, in the space of 9 minutes. And so we asked who had the quickest labour on the coast, and we got to 6 minutes, and I thought, wow, that's impressive,
pretty good.
Right?
That's pretty good.
However, we have another call. It's from John in Tookley. What happened with your wife, John?
Mate, we got 4 kids, and every single child, as soon as her water breaks, we've got up to 30 seconds to catch that child. The first one, she dropped on in her underpants. That's how quick it was.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All my kids were born at home in the lounge room, bathroom, kitchen, and front door when I was going to take them off.
30 seconds, mate. So, hang on. When you found out you were pregnant, did you just kind of get the catching mitt out from, like, the cupboard and go, all right, well, we're ready to go?
Yeah, my third kid, I had a baseball glove ready to catch it.
That's hilarious. Do you know what that reminds me of, John? It reminds me of that scene in the Monty Python Meaning of Life, I think it is, where the woman just goes, oh, pick that up for us, doll.
Yeah, that's what she does. My water break, get ready. We've got 30 seconds. We've never been on an ambulance, never been to hospital. Even the nurses at hospital will verify it. There is no record of anyone having a child
Amazing. Well, we're going to send you a family pass to the Mariners. You can take your brood and have a look at them take on Adelaide United in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you, John.
107.7 2GO.
The Romantics, music that makes you feel good, 107.7 2GO, Breakfast of Mandy and Widow, and it's about time for us to get out of here. But if you missed anything on the show, catch up, get the app, 2GO app or 2GOFM.com.au. We give away the most cash here on the coast.
Yeah, we do. We gave away $1,000 to Michelle from Greenpoint, and what a great winner. She's going to help her dad who's got cancer. She's going to get a car service. That's she didn't great. Know where she was going to get her money from. It's awesome.
Brilliant.
But if you want to go back and catch up, we were talking about killer gay swans.
Killer gay, yeah, that's we did. And we also talked about haunted furniture, and you didn't think anyone was going to call.
I was amazed at how many people called with their haunted furniture stories, and that just kind of blew my mind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Look, so lots to catch up on. Tomorrow on the show, though, Akmal Sali, our mad friend, will be joining us.
Yeah, I think I need a good night's rest before we talk.
Yeah, let's go and have a lie down in preparation.
We'll catch you tomorrow at 5:30. Bye.
107.7 2GO.